Since 1997, they've been building an elaborate castle at Gédéon in Burgundy by employing the construction methods used in the Middle Ages. And now they're starting another castle in Arkansas. Julie Sanvaux is managing the Ozark Medieval Fortress Project. It's on donated land in Lead Hill, Arkansas. That's between Little Rock and Springfield, Missouri, just south of the state line. Julie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Is there a man in a hamster wheel treading away?
Yes, there is.
What's he doing?
He's lifting rocks, just like you said. He's using his body weight to lift 10 times his weight in stone or mortar to build walls.
Just like they did in the year 1229.
Right. So 13th century.
Now, how did this all come about? They're actually slowly building a castle. I understand it started in 1997. It's going to take 25 years or something to build.
Right. This is a project in France. And Michel Guyot had the idea because he, ever since he was a child, he worked on restoring castles. And all the time he had that aching question in the back of his head, how did they do this? How'd they do this without machines? And so one night they were sitting around, of course, over wine and dinner with his architect friends and art historian friends and archaeologists. And they said, why don't we try it? The best
That's
way to learn how.
It's a dangerous thing. You get a bunch of archaeologists and architects together, some wine, and suddenly you're building a castle
That's
from
right.
the 13th
That's
century.
That's right. Let's do it. The best way to know is to do it. So they started it.
So how far along are they in Burgundy at Gédéon?
In Burgundy, they're about halfway through their project. They're in their 13th year.
Halfway through. And it is on schedule. It'll be finished.
It is.
When will it be finished?
Well, in about 12 years, it'll be finished, but the project will continue because wherever you have a castle, you also had a religious building, an abbey or something like that, and you probably had a
it's
mill.
It's an amazing thing. People
so
can
go
back year
forever.
After year.
Yes.
What's it like to work there in France, in Burgundy, on this castle?
Oh, it's wonderful. First of all, being in Burgundy is wonderful. I was a tour guide there for 6 years.
It's the whole idea that all these tourists come to see this that gives it the financial basis to continue to
right.
grow.
Right. It's a self-sustaining project.
Now, how did the project leap the Atlantic and a parallel project start up in Arkansas, just, 20 or 25 miles south of Branson, Missouri?
Well, Michelle met someone who was living in Lead Hill, Arkansas, who had some land, and he went to France, and he saw Michelle's projects in France. His name is Jean-Marc Mira, and he wrote a letter to Michelle and said, there's a lot of Americans don't even have passports to travel to Europe and would never be able to see something like this, because in Europe you see medieval structures all over the place.
He's an architect or something, the guy in Arkansas, Jean-Marc?
No.
Just a tourist?
No, just
Who
a
cares?
Person.
With,
right.
some, with some land.
Right.
So he gets inspired by this project in Burgundy, and he thinks a lot of people in the United States don't have a passport, can't get over to France and check this out. Let's build it in Arkansas.
That's right. Let's do it here.
And how's that project going?
It's going great. They started building, actually, in 2009, and they opened to the public in May 2010 last year. So we had our first season this
summer.
So this
is basically, you got the footprint of this castle going on there.
Yes, this is brand new. Mm-hmm.
So somebody's traveling around the South United States, they can swing by Lead Hill in Arkansas.
Right.
Near the border of Missouri.
Right along the road, yes.
And what's it cost to go there?
It is $18 for adults.
$18. You come in there and you see all this action happening.
Right. Not only the building of the castle, the quarrying of the stone, the building of the castle, and everything that goes along with it, the blacksmith and the potter. And
now, how do they know? It's supposed to be the year 1229. Louis IX was the king in France, right? And it's siege warfare. So they're building these castles to just survive all of these marauders that are coming in. How do they know all of the techniques from back then?
Well, studying castles that exist, studying the walls of the castles, also from drawings, and piecing together these theories of how they might have done it.
Because technically, you're using the same methods, the same materials, the same tools, no electricity.
Right.
You actually quarry the stone.
Right.
You're kidding. There's a quarry there in Arkansas where you get the stone.
Right. And that's why when Michelle came to the United States to check out this piece of land that Jean-Marc had, it had to have the resources, because to build a castle, you need a quarry and you need wood and you need water. Those are the important
things.
So
you got the quarry, the forest, the water.
Right.
The cheap labor.
Right. No, not
back then, the cheap labor.
Then,
surf
yeah.
labor. You actually pay your people more
yes,
than
we do
some
pay
gruel
them.
In the morning. Huh?
Right.
You know, we see castles all over the place, but they're done and they're pretty dead. This is a living project. Take
right.
us through, Julie, when you go to this site, whether it's in Arkansas or in Burgundy in France, what are you going to see?
You want to take a guided visit for sure, because then you get the explanation of why and how castles came about, because they just didn't appear out of the blue. It was an evolution from the Mott and Bailey onto the dungeon, onto the castle, and why, like you said, why we have to have 5-6 foot thick walls and things like that. So you need to have a basic understanding of what's going on. But then you'll go through in the forest and you'll see textiles. We have animals, the sheep, and people learn about textiles, then go down and see the quarry and how they quarry the stone.
And they're slicing the oak? Slicing the wood?
Yes. We have what's called a pit saw, where you have someone up on a platform, this huge saw, and you have a tree laying across there, and someone's on top and someone's on bottom, and they're actually slicing the tree in half.
Painstakingly cutting this tree the long way.
Right, the long way. Exactly. Yeah, and then they have to square it off first and then slice it.
Now, how do they have mystical medieval methods of measurement and geometry? Because it's just mind-blowing how they're able to build these castles in an age before any of the modern engineering techniques and computer stuff that we have today.
Right. Can't click a button and have plans. So they had to use a 13-knot cord and use geometry, because all of the castles and cathedrals are geometric shapes put together.
You said a 13-knot cord?
13-knot cord. So you will learn about the 13-knot cord when you come see the castle.
You talk about it like it's the foundation of all of this.
Well, it's unique to this project because you don't really see the use of a 13-knot cord very often. And Pascal Varengo, one of our scientific journeymen that has helped us start the project, has brought this to life.
So the 13-knot cord, it's not unique to castle building. It was standard.
But it's something that you don't see demonstrated anywhere.
Right. So we'll demonstrate it to us.
It's 13 knots, of course. Yeah. And in between 13 knots, you have 12 spaces.
Okay, so these knots are defining 12 spaces. Now it's starting to come.
It makes more sense because
12.
With the 12 spaces, 12 is a very important number because you can do any geometric shape with it.
Really? And that was sort of the proto-ruler then?
Right.
So 12. 12 is important for building a castle.
Yes, you've got 12 apostles, you've got the zodiac. 12 was just a number that was everywhere.
24 hours in a day, two 12-hour periods and so on.
Exactly.
Wow. So tell me what you can design then with your 12-knot cord.
You can do three different kinds of triangles. You can do an isosceles triangle, a equilateral triangle, and a right triangle. So three different kinds of triangles, square, rectangle,
and these are all sort of the building blocks for putting together these arches and these vaults.
Exactly.
And so on.
If you've got squares and rectangles, you can build your buildings. You've got triangles, you can build your roofs, and of course, a circle for your towers.
Now, in the 13th century, guys who were really good with their 12-knot cord were probably considered almost like wizards.
Well, it's your architect.
That's what an architect. He's had
the architect
his 12-knot cord.
Got his compass and his cord, and he's going to show everybody else because they haven't been going to school.
So when I visit this castle in Arkansas or in Burgundy, I can meet one of these role-playing architects who's going to pull out his 12-knot cord?
Right.
Do you have the role-playing people there? These guys who are cutting the wood are dressed up like they were?
They are dressed up, right. They won't be talking with accents, though.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, but they will talk to the visitors.
Yes, absolutely.
That's great for families and kids that want to be inspired by this part,
because that's what's different. You're not just going to visit, like you said, a dead castle. You're not just looking at the walls and standing there and wondering, well, I wonder how they did this. You can actually go up to the person and say, how are you doing this?
And they'll take time and talk to you. That's the whole idea.
How's the mortar different in the 13th century than cement nowadays?
So what kind of people get involved in this? I was looking on your website. The crew, it looks like a fascinating gang of people.
You have people from all over. In Arkansas, we have a lot of masons from Arkansas because there's so much stone around there. There's a lot of masons there. But we have a scientific team in France that follows our project and made the plans and all that kind of thing.
There's a lot of just elbow grease, carrying wood, carrying rocks, carrying mortar, laying mortar, cutting wood. Are these people who are retired and want to have a fun second career, or are they doing it on the side after hours?
Well, we have our employees that are doing it as a job, but then we also have a volunteer program where people can come out and work, because if they don't want to painstakingly toil for 9 months.
I could go in that hamster wheel if I wanted to?
Yes, you can come and work for us. That would
really?
Be great. Yes.
And hoist
come
up
give
some,
it a try.
What an experience. Now, you've got the siege warfare whole dimension to this, and I imagine there's, as the castle develops further, you'll have more of a slice of medieval life dimension to the exhibit.
Yes, we have a catapult that's in progress right now. So
In Arkansas.
We've got all the pieces laid out. It's absolutely enormous. And when they get it put together, we'll start flinging things.
I mean, not just flinging things, flinging 200-pound rocks for 1,000 feet.
Yeah.
You got to have a strong castle to withstand that pummeling.
Well, I don't know if we're going to fling a rock. That might be kind of dangerous.
But in the Middle Ages, that was the powerful thing. That was the awe-inspiring tool that could bring down your wall.
Right, and that's why the walls had to be so thick. And Philip Augustus figured out that if they were thick enough to defend against a catapult hit, then they were good.
So Philip Augustus, the castle is built from the reign of Louis the Ninth, but Philip Augustus was before him.
He's the one that kind of designed a certain kind of castle. We call it a Philippian castle.
A Philippian castle. So that was sort of the standard, state-of-the-art military design.
It was.
Of
he
a
started a standard by.
So
by the way,
say the year 1200, all around Europe, they're using this Philip Augustus designed for a castle.
Right, and the design is after the Louvre, actually. That was the first one that he built.
Oh, because you can see the footprint of the Louvre there in the courtyard.
Right.
And that was one of those castles with the round turrets and sort of rectangular.
Right.
Tell me about this design.
Well, the design is actually twin towers at the door,
uh-huh.
so that you always have protection at the front door. Yeah. Generally, you have about six other towers, depending on the size of the castle. But a tower every 50 meters. You're going to want to have a tower every 50 meters. And the walls being about 12 meters high and about 2 meters thick.
So those medieval people weren't all that dumb.
Oh, no. They were very, very smart.
Have you gained a respect for medieval thinkers?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. You realize that it's not that they didn't know what they were doing. They were just doing it by hand.
And they didn't have electricity and computers.
Right.
Wow. Julie Sonvaux, you've got me thinking about not only visiting a castle, but actually taking part in the building of a castle, or at least going there and talking to people who are doing exactly that. I can do that in Burgundy, or I can do that right here in the United States in Arkansas.
Right.
Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Each year, Rick Steves tour guides take free-spirited travelers on escorted tours through France and beyond, one small group at a time. This year, we're featuring tours of Paris and the south of France, Paris and the heart of France, Paris by itself, and the villages and vineyards of eastern France. For a free catalog and Rick's Tour Experience DVD, visit the tour pages at ricksteves.com.